So we're all here. So I'm going to call to order the teleconference meeting of March 15th at the California Fish and Game Commission. Mary, can we have a roll call, please?
President Sklar.
Here.
Vice President Hostler-Karmason.
Here.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
We're moving on to the first item on the agenda, which is to approve the agenda and the order of items. Are there any requests for changes in that? Okay, none being seen. Well, we'll go with that agenda. I'd like to turn to Acting Executive Director Mike Yon to describe, talk about the ground rules for the meeting today.
Thank you, President Sklar. First, I'd like to just do a quick round of introductions, especially helpful for those on the phone. Here in Sacramento is President Sklar and Commissioner Anthony Williams. Vice President Jackie Hostler-Karmason is in our Arcata office, and we also have conferenced in and is noticed as part of a place for public comment is the Napa office and the Los Alamitos office. Aside from myself, I'm Mike Yon, Acting Executive Director. I have beside me Susan Ashcraft, our acting Deputy Executive Director. I have Mary Britton, our Administrative Staff Person. I have John Snellstrom. Thanks, John. John Snellstrom and Aaron Chappelle from Commission Staff. And also in the room is Sherry Fonbuena from the Commission Staff, one of our analysts. From the department, I have Stafford Laird, who's acting. Stafford, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on you.
Deputy Director for Wildlife and Fisheries.
Thank you. And Chief Dave Best from the Law Enforcement, and Patrick Foy, Lieutenant from Law Enforcement.
Captain.
No problem. For both ranks. And we also have members of the public here, and I presume members of the public in the other location.
Let's actually ask, are there members of the public in the other two locations, or three locations, rather?
I have one in Arcata. I have Miss Eileen Cooper present.
Perfect. What about Napa?
Napa, we have no members of the public.
Okay, great. Thank you. Can we dismiss them, then, if they want to? I know we'll get to Los Alamitos, but can we, if there's nobody there, can we?
I'd suggest keeping it open for the duration of the meeting in case
somebody shows up.
Okay. That's interested in speaking.
And Los Alamitos, do we have anybody there?
Yeah, hi. It's Marcy Arumso with the department. And with me here in Los Alamitos, we have Assistant Chief Mike Stefanik and Warden Nick Molesbury. We also have Diana Porzio and Trung Nguyen with our CPS project. And we have one member of the public here, Wayne Couto, with CCA.
Okay, terrific. Welcome all.
And just real quick, a little bit about meeting protocol.
I'm sorry, Mike. This is Craig Sheeman with the Marine Region in Santa Barbara. I'm on as well, and I've got one member of the public here with me.
Okay, thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
Mike, this is Chris Ames from the AG's office. I'm on.
Okay, good.
Hey, Chris, welcome. Anybody else? Okay, Mike.
And just real quick, this is a teleconference meeting, but we are still complying with the Bagley-Keene Open Meeting Act. Our goal today is informed decision-making. So in that spirit, we ask everybody to work together, particularly with the logistical difficulties of the teleconference. The proceedings are being recorded and will be available. The recording will be available on the website. As far as speaking, if you would fill out a speaker's card at the respective at your location. Obviously, we're not going to ask you to fill out a speaker card somewhere you're not. And there'll be, as we get to the items, we'll call the different location speakers to speak to any item that they wish to speak to. And only other thing I'd like to add is I request that everybody please be respectful, and praise and criticism are welcome, but personal attacks are not tolerated.
Sure. Thank you, Mike. That moves us on to item two, which is public forum. I believe we have one speaker here for public forum, and then we'll check in the other locations after that. Mary, can you call the person forward?
Marilyn Jasper.
My name is Jasper. Please sit there and speak clearly into the microphone if you can.
Oh, great.
That way everybody can hear.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners and staff. My name is Marilyn Jasper.
I'm speaking on behalf of Public Interest Coalition in regard to the proposed mammal hunt regulation change to Section 265. I wish to clarify statements made from the last commission meeting. No state in the continental United States allows deer hound hunting except for 9 deep south states. In those 9, GPS collars are allowed for hound deer hunting, and it's not fair chase. A line of hunters positions themselves with cell phones and two-way radio collars. At the other end of the hunt area, houndsmen or handlers release their GPS collared hounds to begin the deer drive. The line of hunters at the other end are kept informed of the hound's position in their chase progress via GPS coordinates. The line of hunters may quickly move their locations according to the information they're being sent in order to be ready to cut off the deer and fire away when they emerge. Adding this type of unacceptable advantage and other impacts that GPS collars on hound hunting is neither ethical nor fair chase, and many deer hunters concur with that position, that opposition. An ally started a petition to all the commissioners, I don't know if you are informed of that or not, opposing the proposed amendment, and as of this morning, it is over 28,500 signatures. To be frank, I think some signers took it a little further than just opposing the amendment to 265. We urge you to read the compelling opposing arguments. I don't see how you could have read everything in that large meeting document you had last time. We urge you to vote to continue the existing ban on GPS collared hounds and deny the amendment to Section 265. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Simpson. Appreciate it. Are there any public speakers at the other locations for public forum?
I have Eileen Cooper here in Arcata, and she has filled out a speaker card. Go ahead, Eileen.
Go ahead, please, Eileen.
Hello. I'm Vice President of the Friends of Del Norte. And just say appreciation for making these local meetings here accessible. It saves a lot of traveling. And we submitted a one-page statement about the Blue Creek item on the Klamath River in regards to the compromise proposal made last meeting. In careful review of that after the meeting, we feel that the compromise is not a 50-50 compromise by a long shot, that in calculation, the Yurok's measured the full refugia, and what we are in the compromise proposing is leaving 68% of the refugia open for very intensive fishing. So I know it's a little short if we might make a modification of that alternative. The original language in the proposal allowed for variations. So we were calculating that a 50-50 compromise would have looked like 500 feet above the mouth of Blue Creek and 1,000 feet below the mouth, rather than the 500 feet that's been allocated of closure. So we still have a number of days for a slight modification with a notice, but that we are still advocating for the full closure, but we realize that a lot of people are heading to compromise. So we would request that be modified to be a little bit more fair, if possible. All right. And hopefully it'll be a better year anyway this year. And we have our eyes very much on elk and what's going to happen with elk in Del Norte County, and are very concerned that we get good data in about the health of the herds and the size of the herds before we make any extreme changes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Has anybody shown up at the NAP office who'd like to speak?
No, there's still no members of the public.
Okay, great. Thanks. And what about Los Alamitos?
No comments under public forum.
Okay, terrific. Then I close public forum and we're moving
on. We've got one speaker in Santa Barbara.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay.
Go ahead, please.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. I'd like to address the mismanagement of the abalone resource here in the state of California. We know that this resource is owned by the citizens of the state, but it is not being managed efficiently or effectively to the maximum benefit of all of those who are involved. We know that the way that it is being manipulated now is the greatest benefit to these few abalone farmers, but they've had over 20 years of no competition. And the sport fishing south of San Francisco needs to be opened up. There are large numbers of harvester abalones verified by the fish and game already in the counties of San Francisco, San Mateo, Santa Cruz, and Monterey. Why will you continue doing this? This is because you harbor such great affection toward these abalone farmers that have, through the history of time, failed. Their conduct and their past working histories are abominable. And we have to say that the recent court battles that they've had negated having to reform themselves under new regulations that would be of greater benefit to the environment, the resource, and the people is not being followed. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Any other speakers anywhere? Okay, great. Then we are moving on to item number 3, which is today's adoption hearing. We've had a notice hearing in December and a discussion hearing in February of proposed changes to the salmon sport fishing regulations. Is anybody from our staff going to speak to it, or are we going to go right to Stafford? Okay, Stafford, turn it to you.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Sklar.
No.
We have Marcy or Craig can speak to the ocean salmon.
Okay.
Regulations, so I'll defer to them.
I'm sorry, of course. Craig, floor's yours.
This is actually Barry Miller. Sorry to interrupt, but I am here to provide a presentation for the April 16th.
Okay, very great.
Yeah, I was going to introduce Barry and turn it over to him. Go ahead, Barry.
All right, thank you very much. So good morning, President Sklar, Commission members. My name is Barry Miller. I'm an environmental scientist with the Department's Ocean Salmon Project. Today's presentation will focus on the 2016 ocean salmon season regulations for the month of April. And as part of the normal season setting process, at their meeting in Sacramento last week, the Pacific Fishery Management Council reaffirmed regulations for the April 2016 season in federal waters that were initially adopted during their meeting in April of 2015. Now, in order to allow fishing in state waters, the commission must take action today to conform the state regulations to federal rules that will apply in 2016. Please move to slide 2. I'll start by giving an overview of the process for regulatory action. We'll take a look at the focal species in California's 2016 ocean salmon fisheries. We'll review the Federal Salmon Fishery Management Plan conservation objectives. I'll show the proposed 2016 sport fishery regulations in state waters. And finally, I'll review the next steps in the current regulatory process. Please move to slide 3. This is the timeline of remaining regulatory meetings. The federal regulatory process is on the top, and the state process is on the bottom. Starting with the federal proceedings, the council convened last week to accomplish two primary tasks related to ocean salmon. First, to reaffirm the April 2016 regulations in federal waters, and second, to consider a suite of alternatives for the remainder of the 2016 ocean salmon season. And each alternative was crafted collaboratively with input received from both industry representatives and our constituents. The commission is following shortly behind with today's meeting to adopt sport fishing regulations in state waters for April 2016. Then next month, the council will meet to adopt the final 2016 sport fishing regulations for May through November in federal waters. And lastly, on April 18th, the commission will hold another teleconference meeting to adopt the final May through November fishing regulations in state waters. Please move to slide 4. Here we're looking at the first of two slides addressing the focal species in California's 2016 ocean salmon fisheries. This slide centers on Sacramento River Fall Chinook, which is generally the largest salmon run on the West Coast and comprises upwards of 95% of all Chinook harvested off California's coast. The 2016 preseason abundance forecast for Sacramento River Fall Chinook, which is indicated by the red square on the graph and located just above the year 2016, is 299,609 fish. To put that figure in relatable context, we've also provided historical postseason estimates since 1983, which are indicated by the blue dots. Please move to slide 5. Continuing with the focal species, this slide shows both Klamath River Fall Chinook and Sacramento River Winter Chinook. And starting with Klamath River Fall Chinook, the ocean abundance forecast is 142,169. Klamath River Fall Chinook is not expected to meet the minimum spawner escapement goal in 2016 as defined in the Federal Fishery Management Plan. And as a result, under the National Marine Fisheries Service control rule, only de minimis fishing will be allowed with a maximum exploitation rate of 25%. And this will significantly constrain fisheries in 2016, especially north of Point Arena. Moving down to Sacramento River Winter Chinook, which is ESA listed as endangered and is a species of particular concern due to the ongoing drought. The department is concerned with the 2013 through 2015 brood years because of very low survival rates among juveniles. And as a result, the department chose to take a more precautionary approach to crafting 2016 fishery regulations, as it did in 2015, by implementing lower than required exploitation rates to provide further protection for winter run. And winter run is going to restrict fisheries south of Point Arena. So fisheries in California this year are going to be restricted in the north and the south by Klamath River, Fall Chinook, and Sacramento River Winter Chinook. Please move to slide 6. Slide 6 shows the fishery management plan conservation objectives for 2016. For the Sacramento River Fall Chinook, has an escapement goal of 122,000 hatchery and natural area adult spawners. And I should note that in 2015, the escapement goal was not met for Sacramento River Fall Chinook. Moving down for Klamath River Fall Chinook, has an escapement goal in normal salmon season setting management scenarios of 40,700 adult spawners in natural areas. However, under the de minimis fishing regulations for 2016, the escapement goal was reduced to 30,909 adult spawners in natural areas. For Sacramento River Winter Chinook, which again is ESA listed as endangered, the conservation objectives call for restricting opening and closing dates for sport and commercial fisheries south of Point Arena with specific minimum size limits in effect. Additionally, there's no salmon fishing permitted in the ocean between mid-November through March, and there's a maximum ocean fishery impact rate on H3 winter Chinook that's adjusted annually. Please move to slide 7. Here's a look at the management areas for California ocean salmon fisheries. The area north of Horse Mountain is known as the Klamath Management Zone. From Horse Mountain to Point Arena is known as the Fort Bragg Management Area. From Point Arena to Pigeon Point, the San Francisco Management Area. From Pigeon Point to Point Sur is known as the Monterey North Management Area. And then from Point Sur south to the U.S.-Mexico border, that's known as the Monterey South Management Area. Moving on to slide 8. This slide shows the proposed sport regulations as adopted by the Pacific Fishery Management Council. The area north of Horse Mountain will be closed through April, and the season dates for the area south of Horse Mountain will occur between April 2nd through April 30th. The minimum size limit from Horse Mountain to Point Arena is 20 inches, and in all areas south of Point Arena, the minimum size is 24 inches. In all areas that are open, the bag limit is 2 fish, and the possession limit will be 4 fish. Moving on to slide 9, here's a look at the next steps in the current regulatory cycle. On March 29th, the Pacific Fishery Management Council will hold a public hearing in Fort Bragg to review federal proposed regulations for May 2016 through April 2017. Then from April 9th through the 14th, the Pacific Fishery Management Council will hold a meeting in Vancouver, Washington, to adopt federal regulations effective for May 2016 through April 2017. And finally, the Fish and Game Commission will hold a special teleconference meeting April 18th to adopt final May through November regulations in state waters. And that concludes my presentation.
Great. Thank you, Barry. Mm-hmm. Are there any questions from the commissioners for Barry? Commissioner Hauser-Commerson?
No, that was a great presentation, Barry. Thank you very much.
Are there any members of the public who speak? There are none here. Are there any of the other locations?
Hey, we have one in Santa Barbara.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. In the presentation, I'm sorry to say that it was lacking. You are not informing us how many salmon fishermen you are talking about. We know the numbers have been dropping drastically because of the management scheme that was brought into play recently, and I think this number would have a great bearing on understanding and putting everything into a relative position. So again, how many salmon fishermen are you talking about? And I'd also like to bring up that on the executive session page of your agendas for the last how many years, 12, I think, you were being sued by a private company because of the misconception that salmon breed south of San Francisco Bay, which is not true, and that a fish farm and aquaculture facility early on introduced salmon to the rivers in Santa Cruz. And so because of a few wayward fish that have found their way down there over time, you were changed the boundaries that Mother Nature had set up themselves. This needs to also be brought out in any presentation about these fish. The other thing I'd like to ask is, how do we now double check, validate, and verify these numbers that you've been using for so long? And that perhaps a reevaluation of some of these things should be done once we are informed of how many fishermen you exactly are talking about. We know you have this number because you sell them all permits. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your comments. Commissioners, any discussion?
I think it was a great presentation. very helpful.
Hi, this is Marcy and Losel. I'd just offer a few additional remarks from the council meeting, which just concluded yesterday, and that meeting is what framed the proposal that we're bringing to you here today. So over the past 7 days, California stakeholders, sport and commercial, along with members of other agencies, particularly Oregon Fish and Wildlife and NOAA Fisheries, work to develop the range of alternatives that you have today, as well as the range that we're putting out for public review for consideration with regard to federal regulations for the fishing season beginning in May. Folks worked very hard this year. It was somewhat contentious and difficult because of the Klamath constraint that Barry referenced. Having a low forecasted abundance for that stock and having to share fish with only a de minimis allowable harvest has meant that the range of alternatives that we're putting out for public review significantly impacts fishing seasons and opportunities for our sport and commercial fisheries, primarily north of Point Arena. So our California Klamath Zone, the commercial side, we're looking at alternatives that range from only one small quota fishery in September through the range of no fishing at all on the commercial side. And on the sport side, we're looking at some significant reductions in the fishing season. So these were hard negotiations to have, and I just want to compliment our staff and our stakeholders for working through the process to come up with the range that the council will then consider at its April meeting. Also, with regard to Winter Run, Barry mentioned what a constraint this is for us from Point Arena South. The council has also formed a Winter Run working group. As many of you know, this is one of the NOAA fisheries species in the spotlight and is getting lots of attention nationally. So the council has convened a work group of experts, which include two department staff, along with NOAA fisheries staff from all over the West Coast, to do what we can to revise the existing control rule for Winter Run. Right now, the control rule is based on a kind of a retrospective look on how the stock has done, and we're now coming to realize that we really need to do more to find a more predictive tool about what the status of stock is out in the ocean, because that's the information we really need to determine how to minimize impacts in ocean fisheries. So the council and the stakeholders will get back together April 7th, to kind of get down to business with the range of alternatives that has been put out for public review now on the federal regs to hash it out and refine the alternatives to come up with one final preferred alternative that the council will act on there in mid-April. So the action today is limited only to setting seasons and bag limits for the month of April, but then we will have the commission teleconference later in the middle part of April to confirm the federal regs for May through November of 2016.
Terrific, Marcy. That was very helpful. Thank you very much. So, commissioners, do want to discuss or make a motion? Motion is a simple one at the bottom of page one on this report.
I'll make a motion that the commission adopt the proposed changes to subsection 27.80C related to ocean salmon sport fishing regulations as recommended by the department.
Second.
Have a roll call to vote, please.
Vice President Hostler Carmerson.
Aye.
Commissioner Williams.
Aye.
President Sklar.
Aye. The motion passes, and we move on to item four, which is the consideration for readoption of the 90-day emergency fishery regulations, extension for fisheries at risk due to drought conditions, while we pursue permanent regulations under a separate rulemaking. We had an initial hearing in June on adopting regulations and another hearing in December, and today we're considering for adoption. Stafford, would you like to?
So, thank you, President Sklar, Commissioner Stafford Lehr, Acting Deputy Director, Wildlife and Fisheries Division. We've had the existing emergency closure in place where delegated authority is given to the director, whereby we evaluate and make public known one of five or more definitive criteria that we have evaluated, and we can make the decision to close the fishery for whatever period of time is needed to protect it. Since this emergency regulation has been in place, we have only enacted one emergency closure on the Merced River due to conditions that we evaluated. The commission historically has been very concerned that we solicit public input prior to instigating that trigger for closure, and we did do that for the Merced closure, and we stand by that commitment. And we will publicly post any data and information used in that decision-making process and provide that data to the commissioners. So what we're asking here is, as we move into the spring and early summer, while the permanent fisheries at risk regulation is moving forward, that we extend this closure emergency, allowing us to not have a gap and the ability to take emergency action should it become necessary. Overall, conditions have improved with the first part of March, but the concern was elevated based upon the lack of precipitation in February. So right now, it's just a proactive approach, and we take this delegated authority the Commission has given us very seriously, and not being arbitrary and capricious institute any closures. So with that, I'll just take any questions.
So I know we're still hoping for a March miracle, but do you, it might be hard to kind of anticipate, but do you foresee the possibility of any future closures in the, you know, basically until we get to June?
There are some systems that the reservoirs are still highly stressed, and most of these systems that we've been looking at are downstream fisheries from reservoirs. When they run out of cold water pool or they have become operationally stressed, it can promulgate conditions in the river that either have elevated temperatures or depressed EO. Right now, I'll say I don't see anything on the horizon. Some of our small stream fisheries with sensitive at-risk fishes, namely trout, in some of the southern part or eastern part of the Sierras, you know, are still possibly at risk. But the major anadromous fisheries, we've gotten a pretty big pause with the releases and flows. American River is a prime example. The last 3 years, we've had highly stressed conditions downstream of Folsom and Lake Natomas. And with the releases coming out of Folsom right now, it's provided a huge relief for steelhead that we had eggs in the gravel and emerging fall run Chinook. But those numbers were highly depressed because of the conditions when they entered the system. So I don't see anything right now other than the instance on the upper sack, and that is primarily driven to protect the winter run that Marcy just spoke about, and we are going through a separate regulatory process, not this blanket emergency at risk.
On the Merced closure, did you hear from the public about any concerns with that? Or
their concerns on the Merced more dealt with the global steelhead fishing regs that we had, where we allow the harvest of 2 hatchery fish and 0 take of natural origin wild steelhead. And that's a whole separate regulation, and we're continuing to evaluate those concerns that were raised by the public.
Commissioner Hauser-Commerson, do you have any questions for Stafford?
No, sir, I don't. Thank you.
And do we have any, we don't have any members of the public in this room. At any of the locations, do we have any members of the public who would like to speak on this?
Nobody in Napa.
No. Hearing none. Hearing none, then an entertaining motion or discussion.
There's no discussion. I'm prepared to make the motion that the Commission adopts the proposed second 90-day extension of emergency regulations established in Section 8.01 based on its findings that the extension is necessary for the retention of immediate process for temporarily closing rivers to fishing while efforts are in place to make the regulations permanent.
I'll second that motion.
The motion is second. Can we have a roll call, please?
As the motion was made by Commissioner Williams, just for clarification, and seconded by Jackie Hostler-Carmiston. Commissioner Williams.
Aye.
Vice President Hostler-Carmiston.
Aye.
President Sklar.
Aye. Great. Thank you. We're moving on to item 5, which is recognizing former commissioners and staff. We've had 4 commissioners who've left in the last 7 or 8 months, and 1 executive director who's also left. So I just wanted to entertain a discussion and discuss recommendations made by the staff to recognize those commissioners. Who did the staff report with us? Mike, do you want to just discuss the recommendations?
Certainly, President Sklar. I mean, without repeating all the history and the recommendation in general, it's basically framed up both as a timing issue and a substance issue. The timing, as we tentatively suggested, the August Commission meeting, in part because it's a lighter regulatory schedule that would allow the Commission the time to do something like this, but it's also closer to it's in the Sacramento area. As far as the process, the tradition, the photo compilation to include as an example of, there's the tradition of buying belt buckles for outgoing commissioners. And it's a long tradition. We've got documentation going back at least since the late 70s. I'm looking over at Sherry Fombona. She's the keeper of that file. And obviously resolutions, recognition, the contribution, and invitation, formally inviting both the former commissioners, the former staff person, and legislators that would be interested in recognizing or speaking to the participation of the members.
The one challenge in the belt buckles is that there are no funds for that, right? And so what has been done in the past on that?
Commissioners?
Yeah. And I would like to put a qualification on the buckles, too, that I didn't think to mention, and I don't think I spelled out in this, but there have been instances where commissioners, where sitting commissioners have received buckles, either as gifts from other commissioners or they've purchased themselves. And that includes one of these outgoing, now of course I'm blanking on Jim Kellogg's name. Jim actually, as he mentioned at the commission meeting, his last commission meeting, he actually has one. And I believe, although I haven't seen a picture or his, normally when a sitting commissioner gets one, they actually leave a space for their outgoing date. So as a slightly less a big recognition for Jim, you could offer to get his engraved to add his the 2016 date. And that has happened for the past commissioners where they'd already had the buckle. So.
Okay, great. If there are any questions, we'll go to public comment and then we can discuss this. Any questions about this? I guess one question is the belt buckles are about $300 a piece. Is that what we understand them to be?
$250
a piece. Okay. Any members of the public will want to speak on this? And then, please, Ms. Jepson.
Marilyn Jatzer, Public Interest Coalition. I'm just thinking out loud. There might be some outgoing commissioners or staff who will pass on the buckle. Maybe not.
Thank you for that comment. Any comments at the other locations?
Got a speaker in Santa Barbara?
Please.
Commissioners, Paul Weakland. Well, because they're thoroughly cleaning house and the public is still concerned and wanting to know why exactly this is happening, two commissioners bumped at the same unprecedented in the history of the Fish and Game Commission since 1873, and two resign at the very same time, and kicking out the executive director. What exactly is going on? Well, we know the erosion of the public trust and the confidence in the Fish and Game Commission was at an all-time low. So, we haven't even come up with a plausible cover story yet, but we want honesty and truth. What is the reality of these shenanigans that is going on, a complete overhaul of one of the longest-running institutions, one of the commissions that holds the vast authority and power over every living thing in California, body of water, and piece of ground? That is all.
Thank you. Any other comments? Any other locations? Okay, I'd love to entertain discussion. I don't think I'm going to answer that last comment other than to say that none of the recent commissioners were asked to leave. They decided to leave, as did the executive director, to take a position on that he preferred at this time. So we'll leave it at that. Any discussion, fellow commissioners?
This is Jackie. I would really like to do a little bit more than this if possible. I do understand that it's what has been done traditionally, but I think we're looking at some years of service that really demonstrate the huge time commitment for several of the commissioners. So I don't know if it's possible, but I would really like to give it just a little bit more thought. I think staff could go ahead with the existing plan, but if we can possibly discuss a way to bestow a little bit more honor for those long-term commitments. I would really like to do that.
Commissioner Williams?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know if it's appropriate or possible, but, you know, particularly as a result to former Commissioner Kellogg, who I think was probably one of the longest-serving commissioners in the history of the commission, to provide some sort of a lasting, commemoration of his service. I don't know, naming this conference room or, I'm just thinking of something more, indelible in terms of a reflection of his service in particular. And, obviously all of the commissioners serve with distinction, but I think he was, somebody could check the history, but I think he was probably the longest, certainly in modern history. I would, for one, be in favor of pursuing one of those options. And it's not something that we would have to do immediately, but I think if we do come up with, something like that, and I just sort of threw out, the Fish and Game Commission conference room renamed as the Kellogg Conference Room, something along those lines I think would be nice. And I think the public comment about we should probably be in touch with the commissioners to make sure that I personally like belt buckles, and I think it would be appropriate to keep that tradition, but, obviously check with them to make sure that that's something they want.
Okay, so why don't I suggest this, that we do plan on honoring the commissioners at the August meeting, number one. Number two, that we solicit resolutions, have one from the commission, but also from, other public officials who might want to do the same, that we check with the three commissioners who don't have buckles to see if they would like them, and that if they, the total sum of the cost of up to three, if the three two other commissioners agree that we'll bear that cost. And then for Jim Kellogg, since it's just adding the date, why don't we also do a plaque as well that we can give him?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, so that's a form of a motion, and then a direction to staff to talk to each of the existing commissioners about other ideas and solicit them, and then discuss that at the April meeting.
I think that sounds like a good plan, Commissioner President Sklar, and I really like Commissioner Williams' recommendation on the conference room in the Fish and Game office being dedicated and named the Kellogg Conference Room. I think that is kind of the level I was talking about.
Well, why don't I add that to my motion? Why, there's three of us here. Why don't we add that to the motion and let Jim know that we're going to be doing that?
I would make that motion.
Great. Terrific.
All right.
Is there a second?
So second.
So, Commissioner Hosler, Vice President Hosler-Carmerson amended my motion to include naming the conference room, and Commissioner Williams seconded it. So can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Vice President Hosler-Carmerson.
Aye.
Commissioner Williams.
Aye.
President Sklar.
Aye. Great, thank you. And again, I encourage you, I'll do the same to the other two commissioners. If they want to talk about come up with ideas for the other three commissioners that we might want to do, that'd be great, too. But just emphasis that, with both Commissioner Sutton and Rogers, they were heavily involved in the MPA process,
yes,
so something related to that would make sense for them. Okay, moving on to item six, which is Executive Director and Deputy Executive Director positions. Mike, do you want to give us a quick rundown of, just summarizing what the staff report says, and then we'll take public comment?
Certainly, President Sklar. First of all, just as a brief summary of the background, this is just a reflection that both the executive director position and the deputy executive director position are legally vacant, and you have staff acting in both those roles. The direction at the commission was reflected a couple different things that we have broken out as subtopics of the agenda, but then we ultimately and formulated kind of came up with a proposal to address it all together. And the first, the 6A, is a review of the duty statements for those positions, and 6B is an update on the recruiting efforts. And just to skip to the recommendation, staff came up with a proposed strategy to address both of them, After looking at the duty statements, we saw that, there were potential some issues with the deputy director position statement, but that it could have effects that might call for further revision to the executive director and potentially one or two other staff people to eliminate inconsistencies or overlap. And so because of that, we suggest actually waiting to do that until you have a permanent executive director to allow that wholesale review of staff responsibilities and allow the executive director to do that. And you could still amend the executive director's responsibilities as that is, to mesh better with that revised deputy. And so item one of the proposal is retain the current duty statements for the time being, essentially. Item two is add to the agenda and budget time for vetting of applicants during executive session. And I used the word vetting intentionally as a broad term that could include simply a review of applicants, or it could include interviews proper of applicants, and that can be scheduled as the availability of applicants or the commissioner's preference. And that could also be if you choose to either forgo in-person application or interviews, or want to have less than a quorum do interviews and then have that fold into this discussion, that could also be accommodated. And then and I'm sorry, I got too hung up on explaining that tangent that's not in it. Now I'm having to read my own or our language, and we worked in this in conjunction. But beginning in 2016, establish a standing item regarding executive session for and also for staff to provide a general update on recruiting efforts. We've talked about that, and that's been an item, but it's been at every meeting. It's been a, why don't we add that to agenda? And my suggestion is that it just be until you fill that role, that I'm asking that you make that a standing item now to avoid that every time. And then, I'm sorry, did Susan want to? Yeah, that's both a executive session and
a reporting staff afterwards,
recruiting efforts. Okay, it's essentially twofold, like what you have been doing in the recent commission meetings. And the final item is there was particular interest about recruiter, and so there is a an exhibit that kind of laid out the analysis that did. With respect to the hiring of a recruiter, it is a possibility. It's likely, although you never know because of the state competitive procurement process, likely to fall into informal solicitation process, but ultimately you could go down that road, and then if nobody is willing to do it under the $50,000 threshold, then that would trip over into a formal solicitation process, which still could be done, but would be a slower process. So that, I'm not going to walk through that entire exhibit, but that exhibit explains that informal process. The budget issue with doing it is not prohibitory, and a proposed timing of which would be that, if you were amenable to the rest of this process, you could direct staff to go forward with actually seeking bids, but not actually entering into an agreement with a recruiter until the April meeting, when you've got a better feel for what you'd be doing otherwise.
Okay, great, Mike. Let me add to that we have received three applications. I would say two of them meet the basic requirements on first blush for the job. The third does not. And so my recommendation is, then in addition to all of this, that we add, if we can, as quickly as possible, an interview process that we should discuss and decide how that might work, with the possibility of having a special meeting 2 weeks from today. It would be almost entirely an executive session meeting to discuss the hiring. But of course, we did call the meeting into session by in the, you know, to the public, immediately go into executive session, immediately come out and report. That would mean setting up most likely another remote conference call for that meeting, given the speed of it. The question that we'll discuss once we have public comment is whether or not it's actually feasible for an interview process to take place in that time. If not, the secondary option would be to have it take place over the next month and at the meeting during executive session in April discuss that. Such as there's some other options, some just slight variations on what might propose. We can have questions first from the commissioners, if there are any. If not, we can go to public comment.
This is Commissioner Jackie. I am thinking about our meeting's only a month away, and I know in other circumstances we have interviewed potential personnel during executive session. Would it be possible for, in executive session, for the three commissioners to interview the two prospective applicants at that time and also direct staff now to go out to bid for the executive recruiter? And if we find that those two applicants are not satisfactory and the commission feels like we need to continue the search, then we're ready to do so. Those are my ideas.
Yeah, the answer is yes. That's one of the options, and I'm glad you brought it up because that way it's on the table before we have discussion. So, yeah, the options are to do it, try to squeeze it in the next 2 weeks. The other is to squeeze the interviews in before the meeting, and the third is to have the interviews at the meeting itself during executive session. All three options are on the table. So before we discuss it, let's any public comment? There's none here, I believe. At any other locations? Okay. Commissioner House of Commerce has laid out an option there. Commissioner Williams, do you have thoughts on the options before us?
Yeah. I guess initially, and I think if we had, I think that two possible scenarios, I know there are others, but the two scenarios of trying to do interviews between now and the April meeting, I don't think having a meeting between now and April makes a lot of sense since it is just over, it's just about a month away. So my thought was that we would either set up a subcommittee of two commissioners and perhaps the director of the department, for example, to conduct interviews between now and the next in the April commission meeting, or since there are only three of us, at least as of today, that we maybe conduct those interviews at the April meeting. My only concern about the second option, and actually the first option of trying to schedule interviews between now and the April meeting, is that that interview panel could then make a recommendation to the full commission at the April meeting, and we could potentially take an action to act on that recommendation, whether it's to hire one of the applicants or continue the search. If we wait until the April meeting to do the interviews, then the question is whether we would have sufficient time to deliberate on those interviews at the April meeting to be able to make a decision. I think, I think we've all had the benefit of seeing the applications that have been submitted so far. I would agree with you, Mr. President, that of the three, there are two that are clearly worthy of being interviewed, and I do think that there's the potential that one of the two, has the potential to actually potentially succeed, and obviously, there might be more that come in between now and then, but my suggestion, my suggestion right now is that we do potentially set up a process where we can conduct interviews between now and April and then have the benefit of those interviews and a discussion at the April meeting with the potential that we could make a selection at the April meeting.
Okay, terrific. Under that, I assume that you're willing to volunteer then for that.
I was going to suggest that it'd probably be appropriate that it be the president and vice president and the director.
Well, we want to get to two, so I'm happy to do it. The question is Vice President Hauser-Carmerson available to do that in the next a little over 30 days?
I would really like to be on that subcommittee. I feel very strongly about being present in person at the interview.
Okay.
So I would be willing to make that work if we can possibly geographically move it a little bit closer to my area. That would be great. If not, I'll travel to Sacramento.
Okay, that's terrific. So I'm willing to volunteer as well. So let's do this. We've established a subcommittee of Vice President Hoster Congressman and myself, and we will invite the director of the department if he's interested and available to come as well. It's a great idea.
Or designate
somebody. And of course, our executive acting executive director will ought to be there as well. And so we'll arrange that between now and that meeting and come back with recommendations. And I think then we can do exactly what you've described, which means in terms of the recommendations today, I think recommendation one makes a lot of sense that we let get the ED hired because
right.
their specific experience and qualifications will define that job, and then that will in turn define the ED job, or the deputy ED job, rather. I think the two comments on including it on the agenda for April 16th now can conform with what we've already discussed. And then, again, I think Commissioner Williams' recommendation that we, and Vice President Hoster Carmison's recommendation that we put out to bid the recruiting effort, but we don't take any action on it until after we've had this process, at least at the April meeting. All makes sense.
Yep.
The one recommendation I would have also is that perhaps Commissioner Williams, you could meet with both of the applicants on your own if you have time, even over the phone, just so that you'll have had a conversation with them before that meeting. I think that'd be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Is that concise enough in the form of a motion that we could vote on that? Or do you think you've got the? Or do I need to restate it?
I'll make the motion to accept President Sklar's recommendations to move forward with interviews before the April meeting, to place it on the agenda for discussion during executive session at our April meeting, and to also move forward with the executive recruiter solicitation with no action until further notice.
I would second that.
Great. We've got a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Jackie Hoster Carmerson.
Aye.
Commissioner Williams.
Aye.
President Sklar.
Aye. And that, I believe, wraps up our agenda for today. So we can adjourn this meeting. Our next, let me go over the next meeting schedule real quick because I think it's always helpful for people to hear it. I'm sorry.
Susan and I realized at the same time that we didn't check in to see if there was any public comment on that item.
I did. I can ask again, is there any public comment on this? Okay. So just a reminder, we have a March 21st Marine Resources meeting in Los Alamitos. On April 12th, we have our tribal committee meeting in Geyserville. And then our next full commission meeting is on April 13th and 14th in Santa Rosa. Also, just to mention, on April 18th, we have another teleconference call to finalize some of the regulations we discussed today, including the salmon regulations. With that, we adjourn the meeting till our next meeting in April.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.